League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the way we go tonight, the guys in the wheelhouse having a little bit more fun than it is allowed, I guess. You know, Andrew Carlson, I'm wondering, is my show not a fun show? These guys look to be having too much fun.
Look, they have a really great time, Glenn. It's going to be hard, but we're going to match the energy here. Don't you worry about it. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, the energy I can match, but, you know, these guys are young. These guys are hip. They're funny. Good job, and I appreciate the plug here tonight. We're a little different. It's a two-hour soccer show. I have been accused of being overly serious. If you believe that is true, you can call in and tell me I need to lighten up a little bit. If you don't believe that's true, you can call in and say, hey, we like you just the way you are. Or you can not call in at all. But frankly, I'd love you to call in tonight because we all saw the big news yesterday. Matt Jordan relieved of his duties at the Houston Dynamo. And I understand how this was emotional for many, many people. And the focus was really on Matt. But I want to clarify a couple of things here. Matt was hired by ownership. Matt was hired by a president. And I think to just go after Matt Jordan, to me, is missing the context of the big picture. And you got to put all this in the context of the big picture. There should be no angst to the new owner. The new owner has a clean slate and has an opportunity to try and turn things around, which he seems very intent on doing. And you're going to get an interview tonight. We're going to talk to Ted Siegel. It'll probably happen. We'll do this in the first hour for sure. It's an interview where we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about Matt Jordan. We're going to talk about Tab Ramos. We're going to talk about relevancy in Houston. We're going to talk about where in the league we will be amongst spending on the competitive side. And I would think that Ted Siegel is going to have to spend on the front office side as well. This is simply about getting a winning attitude throughout an entire organization, if that's simple. And that's not easy to achieve. This is going to be good tonight. Looking forward to getting an interview with Ted tonight and getting it out to you, the soccer fans. Look, I'm the conduit for you, the soccer fan. I'm head, heart, and soul for the fans. I feel it like you do. I'm passionate about it like you are. And I do believe this thing can turn around. I do believe we can be like Portland, but it is going to take a tremendous amount of work. And we do have to get, in my opinion, more Houstonians involved and people from our soccer community that have achieved many great things. I do think you have to get former players involved. Now, what I want to caveat that with, though, is let's address the topic of former players staying involved with clubs. This is essential when you have a club culture. You identify the ones that will be the best to keep on. It's not simply because they're there and they want a job. You have to get the best people to remain on. So for me, this is essential to carry on a culture of a winning organization. And yes, a few have been used by the Dynamo over the years. Wade Barrett, Brian Ching. Brian Ching, I think, was heading up the Dash for a while. Eddie, obviously, has been with me on television, but he's been an assistant with the Dash in the Academy. He's a color analyst now for 10 years. Ricardo Clark was one. He moved on. But the early boat on this, as far as keeping players involved. And I don't even know if the organization at the time was thinking out like that. I don't think they were thinking out 5, 10, and 15 years, because if you were, you wouldn't let Craig Weibel get away, and you wouldn't let Pat Onstad get away. You got to take all of this with a grain of salt. And no doubt we lost some good ones. Wade Barrett's another one. Okay, that was a differing circumstance because that was a choice for a head coach. The decision makers could have and should have retained players, and it's fair to say they erred in this department. Why? I don't know. Simply being a player on a championship team or being a professional soccer player doesn't entitle you to a job. It doesn't entitle you to anything. Some are going to be better on the competitive side, you know, the coaching side, the technical side there. Without a doubt, you got to hire there. And some will be suited for the front office, like a Craig Weibel. Now, you knew that guy was destined for something. I mean, he was in his free time an assistant coach at Rice University. You knew that back then from him. And now he's at the Seattle Sounders. Former players over the years, though, for me, and this is the only ticker I have been pretty silent for the most part while the team was in a downward spiral. And frankly, we're not upfront about the organization and the spiral that had occurred and has occurred. So I would simply say this, if you're an ex-Dynamo player and you want to be a part of the club, I would pick up a phone, go to the office, state your intentions, throw your hat in the ring. It's real easy. And I do believe ex-players need to be involved. And they can be from the championship teams. They can be from teams before that. They can be, we've had a ton of very good people leave the community that should have been retained here. Guys like Eric Quill that are coaching the FC Dallas second team. Josh Gardner, Sporting Kansas City. He's here coaching youth. These are guys that should be involved with the Houston Dynamo. We have far too many people from outside our city when some of these resources should be brought in. And what they do is they also, as talented as they are, they will help market the team. But anyway, this is not about my thoughts tonight. It's more about Ted Siegel's. We're going to get them tonight on the show. You can call in 713-780-3776. I got tickets tonight for the Houston Dash. They will take on OL Reign tomorrow night. That's a huge game, by the way. And then Sunday they play again in Orlando. These are huge games when it comes to playoff perspective and getting into the playoffs finally. Look, 13 last seasons for the Houston Dynamo and Dash, one playoff appearance. That says it all. That says it all. And I think this is going to be changed under this new owner in Ted Siegel. I feel very positive and looking forward to the interview tonight with Ted. Okay. With that, we have James Clarkson on tonight. I want to remind you that. We will have Shep Messing on. Now, Shep is going to tell, okay, maybe these guys in the wheelhouse are having more fun. Shep is going to take us into a story you're not going to believe. And it's a story that took place in the early years of professional soccer when Pelé was playing in Boston at Nickerson Field. Now, Nickerson Field was a very hard artificial surface. I played college soccer there. I played a professional, two or three professional games there against the Boston Bolts back in the day. But his story is incredible. They oversold the game. People were right up against the sideline, believe it or not, with Pelé playing on the field. And it's an amazing story. You'll have to hear that tonight. So we got Shep Messing and Marcelo Balboa. We're going to talk about the beginning of World Cup qualifying. Get serious Thursday night at the Cuscatlan Stadium in El Salvador. It will be serious. Show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, 713-780-3776. If you got something to say tonight, your thoughts on the Matt Jordan move, your thoughts on where you want to see the Houston Dynamo go in the future, if you got them, 713-780-3776. I'm going to start off tonight, and we'll take your phone calls. I am going to start off tonight with a different take coming from the Manchester Evening News in England about Ronaldo. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo going back to Manchester United, I mean, this was a shot across the bow. I wasn't ready for this. So they write here, it was a transfer sensation on deadline day. The tale of a love story rekindled and one in the eye for the neighbors. So Ronaldo came out and everybody had all the gushing statements and, you know, he loves the club, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, not only a marvelous player, he's a great human being. Ronaldo wrote, "Everybody who knows me knows about my never-ending love story for United. I can't even start to explain my feelings right now." And then he winks and says, "P.S. Sir Alex, this one's for you." So we heard all the talk about how the ex-United players started chatting up Ronaldo to get him back. But then this article in the Manchester Evening News goes to another version of the events that they feel needs to be heard. And that is the story of a 36-year-old Ronaldo being hawked around Europe by a super agent, garnering no particular interest, trying and persuading Manchester City to come to the table after they missed out on their number one target before the Reds were stung into action by a potential PR disaster. So what the Manchester Evening News is saying here is Manchester United jumped into action potentially because of Cristiano Ronaldo going to Man City. Now, how these next two seasons are going to pan out is going to be very, very interesting. But they go on to say that the maneuvers by City and everybody over at the Etihad Stadium dictated large chunks of a transfer policy to Manchester United. Now, I wonder if they had any desire before they heard he was going to be at City. Probably not. So, pretty interesting what's going on. Now, here's what I think is really, really positive about this. For guys like Marcus Rashford, Mason Greenwood, there's a new sheriff in town. And he's a guy that's going to be able to lift the level of others. He returns. He was a wide slashing midfielder at his time at United. He's coming back as a number nine. All right, here's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. We're going to run this soundbite on the return of Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's football for you. Sometimes it happens. You know, we've always been watching Cristiano. The one day he was going to move, we'd be interested. We never thought he was going to leave Juventus this season. When he did, we had to speak to him, of course.
Okay, so maybe that refutes what they're saying in the paper. Who knows what the truth is, but that would have been a bad look if he ends up at Man City. Here's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer talking about United players, talking about getting Ronaldo back.
Everyone that cares for Man United wanted this to happen, and I think everyone played a part, but the biggest thing is that Cristiano wanted to come in.
So where is he going to play, according to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer? Here's what he said.
Cristiano evolved as a player. Of course, he used to play wide right, wide left, up front. He's more of a centre forward for me at the moment, yeah, definitely. But there'll be games that we play with two up front and three up front. But I want him in the box. I want him scoring goals.
Of course. I mean, we all know that. Even we know that. He's going to be in and around the penalty area. He's incredible still in the air. He's a great finisher. And if he's got two flying wingers that can shed him of a couple of center backs and give him some room to move in the box, he's a lethal finisher. This thing could work very well. All right, here's a comedic response of Cristiano Ronaldo's return from the goalkeeper, David De Gea.
Well, I think it's like a dream for all the Manchester United fans, for us. To have him back, it's going to be great. It's already great. You feel in the atmosphere. And hopefully he can bring something special as well to make the team even better. So it's great to have him.
So that was David De Gea, the Manchester United goalkeeper, talking on the return of Ronaldo. Man, think about the shirts. So Manchester United fan, how do you feel about the Glazers now? Are they forgiven? Rafael Varane? Cristiano Ronaldo, pretty good pickups, all Real Madrid, former Real Madrid as well. All right, Paul Pogba is a big key. His buy-in to United is a big key, and how successful they're going to be. I would think that Cristiano Ronaldo being there now could add to an additional buy-in by Pogba. The dance that United has done with him over the last year, year and a half, whatever it's been, that gets tiring, but here's Paul Pogba on Ronaldo's return.
Everybody knows that he's already a legend in this club, and he's coming back. So obviously, it's it's huge for us, for the club, and he's going to bring his experience, his quality, and obviously when he comes, you know, the level goes up. So we're really pleased that he's coming. But the most important today was the win. So when he comes, we keep this mentality of winning, and we keep going.
And by the way, Mason Greenwood had the winner for Manchester United against Wolves. So that was Paul Pogba, and he brings up a great point. This guy in training now, the level goes up, the eyeballs on the club goes up, the value of the club goes up, shirts are going to fly off, expectations are going to be very, very high. Ronaldo will expect a lot from his teammates. They will expect a lot from him. You don't play until you're 36 years of age as a center forward unless you have just taken remarkable care of yourself, and this guy clearly has done that. Off the field, I have questions, but I'm only talking about him as a footballer right now. And in the end, football is commercial. Bringing him back is a commercial move as well as a competitive move. Here's Roy Keane, the former Manchester United legend, on the return of Cristiano Ronaldo.
I think it's great news. Great news for United, for the fans, for the Premier League. There's no doubt in my mind he's still a world-class player. Obviously, we'll discuss, you know, the pluses and minuses of it, but I just see that people might have doubts about him, but the hunger, the desire is there for him. It's certainly not a payday for him. The guy's worked fortunes. We saw in the Euros, won the Golden Boot. The World Cup is, what, a year and a half away. He'll have that incentive to keep going. And coming back to United, he's a clever guy, and he's a winner. He's coming back to Man United to win stuff. You know, make no mistake about that.
Good stuff there from Roy Keane. And by the way, Roy Keane mentions there, what a win for the Premier League. So if you think about La Liga right now, they've lost Lionel Messi. They lost Ronaldo last year. Serie A loses Ronaldo. La Liga loses Messi. Wow. Those are big losses. Do those leagues become less appealing to you? We'll keep talking. We can keep talking Cristiano Ronaldo. We'll take any other calls you have. 713-780-3776 when we come back. All right, right now, caller number 4 at 713-780-3776. Caller number 4, you'll get a 4-pack to the Friday night Houston Dynamo Portland game. Caller number 4. 4-pack Houston Dynamo against the Portland Timbers. This is a Friday night game. We're going to take a quick break here. Advantage BMW. My friends down at Advantage BMW. I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased. I've bought from Advantage. The drive is incredible. I've had a 5 Series, a 3. I love them. Now I'm in an X5. Throw the dog in there, the bike in there. Advantage BMW Midtown. As you covered, sales, service, finance. It can be done easy. Get yourself in the vehicle of your dreams. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there. Say hello to Steven or ask for Justin. Take a break. When we come back, we'll take phone calls. Caller number 4. Get in there. Get your Dynamo tickets.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It's brought to you by the one and only John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Let me do a little bit of business here right now. Okay, right now, get your dialing, get your phones out. 713-780-3776. Tomorrow night, Houston Dash in a very big game against OL Reign. It'll be at BBVA Stadium. They have just signed Abby Dalcomper. I'm going to have James Clarkson on the show tonight. And right now I got a 4-pack. It's caller number 5 at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, you get a 4-pack to the Houston Dash OL Reign tomorrow night at BBVA Stadium. So we're going to continue the ticket dispersion tonight on the show, and you can win them. You can go free, right? Free. So there you go. So we'll get those winners. We'll get you those tickets digitally. You'll get them in the morning. A couple of things here. Quickly, a word here for Hugh O'Connor. 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen. It's where the Houston Liverpool Supporters Club are. The Houston Liverpool Supporters Group is going to go en masse to a Dynamo game, now wearing their Liverpool jerseys and their red. That's pretty cool. Spoke to Ian Veery about that. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. You know how much I love promoting that stuff. Not really, but I do know I have to do it in order to survive. So I'd rather you guys spread the word about the radio show and do it through social media. When you do that, you're helping the show, you're helping the sponsors, and the world goes round and it allows us to do interviews like the one we have coming up in the next segment with the Houston Dynamo owner, Ted Siegel. So what are your thoughts here on the move with Matt Jordan being relieved? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I'll take your calls on Cristiano Ronaldo. We got the Portland Timbers coming to town. Guess what? They come off a huge win against Seattle, and they're coming in on a confident high, and they've also got back Sebastian Blanco. So if you ever didn't want to play them, it's probably on Friday night because they just had what might be that kind of game-changing victory that now navigates you back into a different place from a confidence perspective because they have had a lot of struggles this year. They haven't been good defensively. They will come into BBVA Stadium on Friday. We did hear that Tab Ramos went back to the East Coast for a family emergency. He is apparently back in Houston, so I'm hoping that means a lot of good things for Tab and his family. Let's hope that's a big key. World Cup qualifying. It's going to start in El Salvador. It's a young, ambitious U.S. men's national team. It starts in the Cuscatlan Stadium in El Salvador. Now, the Cuscatlan Stadium, having been there, and I haven't been there in a while, but I have called a lot of games in that stadium. It's concrete. It's like it's falling apart. It's kind of like ancient ruins. I had an amazing story that I have recounted on the show before, but I think I'll do it again right now just to kind of give you kind of a vision and a glimpse into what it's like down there. But the field will be a cow pasture, and Marcelo Balboa is going to come on and talk about it playing there in the second hour, the former U.S. national team center back. But it will be a different challenge. And look, as much as we know the Weston McKennies, the John Brookses, the Christian Pulisics, the Tyler Adams, that these guys are making this their team, the Gio Reynas, on and on we go, Miles Robinson. This is a different challenge. And listen, El Salvador will morph into something different. Not because they're lower division players comparatively to everybody on the U.S. national team. I mean, there's no Salvadorians playing for Juventus or, RB Leipzig or Chelsea, right? But they will morph into something different in front of their countrymen in their stadium. And they have an opportunity to slay the beast, which is the United States. And by the way, they're coached by former U.S. international Hugo Perez. Hugo Perez now is trying to reverse the fortunes of El Salvador. He's trying to find those with Salvadorian citizenship that are, Salvadorian Americans. It's going to be tough for him to do that. Doesn't mean in one off they're not going to be dangerous. It's going to be tough for him to overhaul it with a very corrupt local pro league that had teams like Alianza, FAS. These were teams that I played against in the 80s that back then were the big teams of El Salvador. Firpo. It's changed. It's corrupt. Their own league is... it's not what it should be. It's not professional enough. Facilities, infrastructure, all those things that they would need in order, as well as player development, that they would need in order to support going out and finding players with Salvadorian heritage in the United States. But this is where we are at the moment. So back to the story. I get to the stadium. I have a driver. I get to the stadium, and I get greeted by two guys with rifles, and they're going to help escort me to the booth. I'm doing these games. On this occasion, I was doing the game solo because I was doing it for Fox, and it was the Central American and Caribbean games. It was the final against El Salvador and Mexico, 55,000 people in the Cuscatlan Stadium. And, of course, El Salvador wants to beat Mexico bad. And, you know, everybody's wearing blue, and I come there, and I have not a blue shirt on. In fact, I got the wrong colors on. And the two guys with the guns say to me, hey, we have to walk up, walk up to the booth through the stands. It's a big bowl, big kind of hillside where there's a house on the top that people look down from. And they go, you better put on a blue shirt, because if not, they're going to throw stuff at you. And so, okay, so I put the blue shirt on. We get our way up there. It's great. Calling the game, it's incredibly passionate. The stadium looks like it's falling apart. There's parts of it on the outside. The concrete blocks are falling out. And lo and behold, it's halftime. And I'm in this little, like, wooden booth with a wooden door. And they're both behind me, and they both laid their guns down during the game. And, you know, I'm calling this game, and they're jumping up and down behind me, you know, rooting for El Salvador, right? Very passionately. It was pretty awesome, actually. And so at halftime, I go, hey, I need to get to the restroom. They go, well, the good news is it's right across from where we are, but there's just a wave of people we're going to have to weed you through. So they come out with their rifles, and, you know, they're kind of at their side, and it there's an opening that parts, and I go through the opening, and I get to the front of the bathroom, and it all of a sudden gets kind of quiet, and I hear all this giggling, little voices, little kids. I get into the restroom. I take a right, and there's a broken water pipe just sticking out of the concrete. It's shooting water everywhere. And here are three little kids, little guys. I mean, these guys are like 5 to 7 years old, maybe, if that, maybe even 4 to 7. They're in their underwear jumping around, having the times of their lives, you know, like in this water. They're just playing and having fun. And it's just so surreal to me, because it just brought home the third world nature of so many, you know. How would that ever happen here in the U.S.? I mean, where are the parents? There's 55,000 people here. Slightly edgy environment. And, you know, this is the reality. It was amazing. I will never forget that moment. And then after the game, couldn't drive through town. So driver takes me up into the mountains past the U.S. Embassy, which is out kind of in the middle of nowhere. And then back around to get me to the hotel. But, I mean, these are indelible moments. And there were no cell phones taking pictures then, or selfies or any of that stuff. Just amazing things that are etched in my mind that have occurred in a lot of different countries. But remarkable stuff. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. We're giving away tickets tonight. We will also have coming up in the next segment is the one that a lot of Dynamo fans are waiting for. Owner Ted Siegel will join me. Going to talk about everything from general manager search, coaching position and tab. We're going to talk about relevancy in Houston. We're going to talk about getting more authentic fans into the stadium, or fans period into the stadium. We're going to do a lot of stuff, and excited about this. All right, let's roll what I thought was a great game this past weekend, Liverpool and Chelsea. I thought Chelsea was excellent, down a man against Liverpool. Let's play the two goals. Kai Havertz and Mo Salah are the goal scorers in this one. Fantastic game. Might have been my game of the weekend, Liverpool-Chelsea.
To the near post, Havertz with the header. It's a good one. It's a fabulous header by Kai Havertz in front of the cup. This, a potentially pivotal moment in what has been an excellent game. Salah scores! Mohamed Salah scores once again against his former club. It'll be 1-1 going into the interval.
That was a great game. Truly enjoyed that. Super game. Fantastic. All right, I just jumped over to Twitter here for a second. Rio Rico says, I know fans in H-Town are spoiled having retractable roofs for football and baseball, and I'm not wanting the same for soccer. just an open-air stadium. And I had had a little conversation with him about that. You know, we had heard some talk about potentially opening the four corners of BBVA Stadium. But, you know, if you think logically here, and look, I'm not an architect, and I want to be very careful not to think I'm an expert in other areas. I've tried to always make sure that nobody's even an expert on soccer. You got experiences you can use, you can obviously judge and come up with opinion. I do think, based on my background, I'm entitled to do a little bit of that. I do a little bit of that. Doesn't make me always right. I'm wrong sometimes, for sure. I may be wrong more than I know when it comes to you as soccer fans. But to build that stadium in a bowl, in a place like Houston, to me, it was just remarkable that climate was not taken more into account. Now, I've been to Austin FC, and all four corners are open. It's a more vertical stadium, and I was up very high, but tremendous view, but there was a wonderful breeze there. Now, Austin may get a little bit more of a breeze anyway. I don't know, but pretty incredible. Oh, I'm hearing Billy Squire. That means I got to go. Means I got a break. All right, we go to break right now. I got a pair of tickets for Dynamo Portland. Caller number three. Pair of tickets, Dynamo Portland right now at 713-780-3776. I want to remind you about FM Kitchen and Bar. There's two locations. There's one down in the Montrose area. This is the new one. It's near Montrose and Westheimer. It's right next to Velvet Tacos. Hey, Velvet Taco, if you're listening, you've been getting a lot of free mentions here, so let us know if you want to help us out and promote the game of soccer, because a lot of people eat tacos at your place after soccer games. So that's the one location. That is the newest. And that's interesting. It's kind of got a steel, brushed steel type bar, slicker. It's a little more kind of modern and contemporary down there. It's smaller, but it's a very cool spot. Very cool spot. Then you go across across Washington Avenue in my area, my go-to, and that's the FM Kitchen and Bar that has kind of an outdoor area, a lot of picnic tables. It's also got tremendous open air. You can bring your dog, your family, open areas, lots of monitors. You can watch games at both these places. You can catch the Dynamo on Channel 55 this Friday. Do it. If you don't go to the stadium, Channel 55, join Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano. We'll have the call tomorrow night. It's the Dash and OL Rain. All right, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. Coming up, Dynamo owner Ted Siegel.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, that's a legendary Dick Dale wailing away there, one of the king of the surf guitar. We miss him. He played in Houston many times down at the Continental Club. You heard Start Me Up also, and the great drumming bit there from the great late Charlie Watts, one of the greatest drummers in rock history and one of the most humble men you would probably ever meet. Okay, we welcome you back to the show. Right now, caller number four at 713-780-3776. You get a four-pack to Dynamo Portland Friday night. 713-780-3776, caller number four, four-pack. And here's what I'd like you to do. For those of you winning tickets tonight, we would love for you to do something on social media. Take a photo of yourselves. Just acknowledge maybe that you love the fact that we were giving tickets away on the show. It means a lot to us. Okay, time now to catch up with the Houston Dynamo owner, Ted Siegel. Well, Ted, first of all, I just want to thank you very much for coming on the air. I know the fans are excited to hear from you here tonight. And I guess my first question to you would just simply be, are the fans going to see you in Houston a little bit more? Because that's one thing they've clamored for. They want their owner to be out in front and they want to see him.
Yeah, look, you can definitely count on me to be there quite a bit. I anticipate coming down in September, and wish I could have made it to a few more games earlier this summer. A few family obligations kept me away. As you guys know, I'm a parent of some young children. And there's a lot of obligations I have with them. I was able to make it, unfortunately, not coinciding with the game. Earlier in the month, in conjunction with our World Cup bid, and so I was able to meet with our team and our staff then, and look forward to coming in next month as well.
Ted Siegel, Houston Dynamo owner, joining us here. Okay, so Matt Jordan has moved on the general manager position. These are tough decisions in life, in sports, no question about it. The search for the replacement, will that come, do you believe, within MLS? Could that be outside MLS? Have you determined that?
Look, I don't want to give away all of the elements of our search because, for starters, we're not the only club currently out there in the marketplace looking for somebody to fill the GM position. There's at least two other clubs that I'm aware of that are that are openly doing it right now. What I will say is that we will certainly be looking at candidates with MLS experience. MLS experience, given the unique rules of MLS and the unique style of play, certainly is an important thing and a factor we're going to consider.
On the role of your head coach now, I know you're a big fan of Tab Ramos. I certainly am. What's his status? This is year two of his contract. Where does the head coach sit right now? Because head, heart, and soul tells me this is, you know, fans want to know about this too.
Sure. What I'll say is that there are no imminent decisions being made with respect to Tab. What I said on announcement day is that we're going to give everybody a fair shake. Although it wasn't decision that I sought to make or enjoyed making, rather, with respect to Matt, who I have to say is a person of the finest character, and I know was invested and deeply desired success in the club. We are where we are in the standings, and we are in a 15-game winless streak, which has coincided a lot with my short stint as owner. And so that coupled with our past record of success or lack thereof under Matt's tenure led me to that specific decision. But with respect to other personnel, I'm not going to state that any decision is imminent.
Ted, is it a role that could be filled by two people? You know, could you have a sporting director and then somebody that's more of a GM type? Is that something that's considered?
It is certainly going to be a consideration. We're making our evaluations right now. We are in our early days of the search. We're going to see what type of candidates we're able to field and who express interest to be here. I do think it is an appealing location and appealing opportunity, both with respect to, again, the quality city and the successful history of Houston, and hopefully some folks who are encouraged by new ownership. And that combination draws folks to Houston. I will also say, just going back to the topic of Tab, I would anticipate anybody coming into the new role of GM will have some input with respect to our head coaching position.
He's Ted Siegel, owner of the Houston Dynamo. We're really excited that you're on the show, and I think fans are going to really enjoy the fact that you're being this open, and we really, really do appreciate it. All right, so let's talk a little bit about roster spend in the future, because the competitive side obviously is an area the fans go to right away. And, you know, they got inquiring minds. They want to know what's going to happen. So in let's say, a current 27-team league, where do you want to fall as far as roster spend?
I'm not going to get into the very specifics of where we're going to be. What I will say is that we have set an objective to spend materially higher than we were last year. I think the team or our fans rather will be pleasantly surprised with what shakes out with respect to roster spend in the coming off season. I'll also note that to the extent that folks are disappointed with the lack of spend to date, I hope that they can appreciate the well-versed soccer fans that they are, that there are only certain things that you can do mid-season, inheriting the roster that we inherited and changing things midstream as compared to in an off season.
Yeah. And I have said it repeatedly on this show, I've said to the fan base that this is not going to all change in the blink of an eye and the click of a finger. You know, you have to have time to analyze the business, do the things you got to do. And frankly, you know, I'll defend you till the day is over that, look, you're not responsible for what occurred prior. This is a clean slate for Ted Siegel. It's a clean slate for the Houston Dynamo. So I'm sure that's fans are going to love hearing that. So as much as we talk about the competitive side, well, before I move on to this, let's just talk about stars. Stars are important in sports. You know that. People are attracted to a singular guy for teams. Is that something that you think is important in MLS and for the Houston market?
I think it's getting the right star, because I think we've seen examples in MLS of the right star translating into great success for the club. And you've seen other individuals who might be taking a victory lap in MLS, although that's less of the less commonplace now than in previous times in MLS. But you've seen examples of folks coming into MLS who are so-called stars and not playing that way. So we recognize the risk of devoting a lot of resources into the to a given individual. And so we're going to be very thoughtful about that. I do think that we have certain players in mind that we're already starting to talk about. I'm not going to divulge who they are right now, but we think could be difference makers. We definitely need difference makers, and think that would be a good fit with our club and our city.
Ted Siegel joining us here, and we're really appreciative of this. This is a very important interview for Dynamo fans, because they've asked for questions, and your owner's here to take them tonight, and we appreciate your coming on the program. All right, so as much as we talk about the competitive side, what about the front office? Will there be changes in the front office and the way operationally things are done and personnel?
So I, as I said on my announcement, we're going to give everybody a fair shake. I think what we just announced yesterday is the result of one assessment. We're continuing to make assessments. I would add, as we started this discussion, that no further changes are currently imminent, but we're making a holistic review of all facets of the organization and how we can improve it, from our front office to our training ground to our stadium, and so there's a lot that's in the works.
Do you, in your mind, culturally have some change that you want to see occur, maybe from the communication standpoint? You know, I think one of the things I hear from fans is a lot. There's a bit too much of a marketing spin on things sometimes. And I think what they're trying to grab at is more substance, less spin a little bit, move that needle a little bit. Are those things that you're looking at as well, as far as the way the organization presents itself?
So I'm not sure that I can comment on attempts at spin. What I will say in the culture that I'm trying to imbue here is a culture of winning. And that starts first and foremost on the pitch. And if we have a commitment to success on the pitch, I do think that that should translate to a commitment to success in all facets of the organization. And a culture of winning and success, I think, is one of these kind of virtuous cycle sorts of things where once you get the snowball rolling, hopefully it continues in that fashion. So, again, first and foremost is our commitment to success on the pitch, and we think good things, including our ability to market our club in the community, will follow from that.
So setting that bar higher, obviously, is going to be a big deal. And a winning culture is very important. Look, you've got more business experience than I'll ever have, so I'll say that up front. But how do you instill that in your organization? I mean, does that come through hires? Does it come through additional motivation in other ways, changing the culture? How do you do that as a businessman?
Yeah, so I think there are a few elements to it, and the sports business and professional sports is unique from a lot of other business organizations. So my reference to success on the pitch is irrelevant to a lot of other businesses. But I will say it's instilling the right people in the appropriate positions, giving them the resources to succeed, which I'm not always certain has been the case in the past year. And as I've said before, and I continue to commit, there will be a commitment to devoting the resources necessary to succeed. And it's applying appropriate performance metrics to gauge whether that success is occurring.
Houston as a soccer community, what do you see?
I see a passionate sports fan base and passionate for their soccer. Look no further than what we saw over this past summer with the Gold Cup. We had packed stadiums here at BBVA and over at NRG, represented by every nation, not only in North and Central America, but from all over the world. And that is really what is so appealing about the sport of soccer married with the city of Houston. There's so much potential here. It's on display time and again, and we've recently seen it with international play. And I hope that we can carry that sort of support over to our everyday performance with the Dynamo in MLS.
Ted Siegel, Houston Dynamo owner, joining us here. Privileged to get your time. All right, so those authentic fans that you just spoke about that were coming out for the Gold Cup and that continually support Mexico when they come here, and they come from all over the world, as you said, very diverse soccer community. How do we reach out in the future, or have you thought a lot about reaching out in the future to the authentic soccer fan, which, in my opinion, in the past has been neglected? That's just my very humble judgment. And will there be, additionally to that, more Hispanic outreach, you think, in the future?
Well, I certainly welcome more Hispanic outreach. There needs to be recognition that this is a significant component of our community, and that community is very enthusiastic about the sport of soccer. If they are holding back from their support, it does continue to come back to a question of what is the product that we are offering them. And even if we make the fan experience as wonderful as we can possibly make it, which we're working on, by the way, in terms of making improvements to BBVA and drawing people just to enjoy a day at the stadium, they're not going to keep coming back if the quality of the play isn't up to par. And so it all goes back to winning and our commitment to winning, devoting the resources to succeed. And it's going to be an incremental process. We're working to do it. Like I said, in the offseason, have intentions to allocate significant capital to improve our player spend. And I'll just further note, because I haven't had an opportunity to note it yet, we're happy with some of the guys that we brought on in our short stint as owners. We're very pleased with the way Teenage is playing. Coco is an incredible midfielder. Just what he can do with the ball borders on wizardry, in my opinion. And so we have certain elements, foundational elements in place already, and we're just looking to build on that.
I'm going to use wizardry, if that's okay with you, Friday night on the broadcast. I like that, actually. I don't think I've ever used that.
What he can do.
We'll make sure we credit you on that one. Okay, so if we just continue on with Houston as a city. And you know, I look at what other clubs do. They involve a lot of their locals, whether it's player development, whether it's in front offices that have, and this is the big piece of it, soccer passionate backgrounds, a deep-rooted passion for the sport. Do you feel this organization needs a few more Houstonians in there? And additionally to being Houstonians, those that have a deep-rooted passion for the game?
Well, of course, we need people who have a deep rooted passion for the game. That's essential to the success of a club like ours. What I will say is it would be very nice to add additional Houstonians to our organization. And in particular, what I'd like to highlight, and you, Glenn, as somebody who has been involved with the sport in this city since 1984, I'd like to welcome back a lot more of our players from the glory days, right? And so Brian Chang is somebody who's been a friend to our organization for a long time. And I will say that in the days and in months over, you know, my short stint as owner, I'll keep reiterating, it's only been about 60, 70 odd days. I have been heartened by the amount of outreach I've had from Dynamo alums. And it shows that they care, the passion that they have, how invested they are in the success of this organization, and how proud they are of the legacy that they left and that they would like to see resurrected.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing, because we let a lot of good ones get away, and they're contributing in other places And, you know, Craig Weibels of the world, the Pat Onstads, I love that you're on top of that in a very, very big way. Again, presence in Houston, you said you'll come during the year. Will you be available to come on shows like this every once in a while? I mean, like, can we invite you back every once in a while for sort of an update from the top man? Because, again, I think tonight this will be a big hit for the fans.
Glenn, you don't need to invite me back. If you weren't inviting me, I'd be volunteering. I'm happy to come on programs like this. I'm happy to make myself available. I think it's an important part of my involvement as an owner. And so not only will you be seeing more of me on the ground, but I'm happy to come back anytime that you welcome me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd Bramos has done a very good job of opening the doors to the team to us. We appreciate that. And we definitely appreciate you coming on tonight. This has been a great interview. Thank you for letting me get right to the really, really important topics here. Thank you for volleying them right back. And again, I think everybody who listened in here tonight will be very, very pleased with this. So, Ted, thank you very much. Best of luck. And you know what? I got to ask you one more thing. Houston, as a city, where have you gone? Any restaurants? Let's lighten it up here for a second. Any places that you really like going restaurant-wise or, you know, when you've come here on your visits? What is it about the city? Because I'm an East Coast guy, too. It was very different when I got here, but I've come to love this place. So tell me about what's enlightened you about the city of Houston.
Look, I am somebody who loves a good meal and a good night out at a restaurant. And so there is a lot that are continuing to be on my list. Having our stadium in the Edo neighborhood, I've been trying to make my way over to Nancy's Hustle. That's one of the ones that I'm trying to get to in the coming moments that I'm in town. I'm a huge barbecue fan, so I will take any and all recommendations on that front. So far, the one in pole position is Pinkerton's. Although if people have a differing point of view, again, I welcome it, and you can probably catch me at some of those places.
Yeah, growing up, I realized I really did not know what barbecue was till I got down here. I mean, I did know what a hamburger was because it was served twice a day, probably, but no question about it. Well, listen, Ted, I'll give you BCN, I'll give you Hugo's, I'll give you FM Kitchen and Bar, and I will also give you a really cool pub for soccer games called Hugh O'Connor's. And with that, I want to thank you very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it.
Thanks again, Glenn.
All right. That's Ted Siegel, Houston Dynamo owner. All right, so Dynamo fans, you may be happy with that. I think that's fantastic from Ted Siegel. I think you're going to hear more from him on this show. And I think to get an owner that's out front and was at Canada tonight, that's a win-win-win. Here's another win. 713-780-3776 right now. Caller number 5, 4-pack, Houston-OL Rain tomorrow night. BBVA Stadium, and I think I may be down there tomorrow night. There you go. Typical, tearful goodbye. This ain't no breaking up and waking up and making up one more time.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.